Rodgers gets the ball in. Ahead to Timberlake on the run.
It's a block.
And he missed the shot.
Is it called a foul?
With the game on the line, that is an incredible block that just got taken away from Samford.
Up he goes, and a nice play there. Chase Ross, he flew right over my head.
And that's hard to do, that's a big head.
And Oakland with a March memory of a lifetime.
The Mixed Picks Sports Show.
The Mixed Picks Sports Show, that's 2Ks in Mix, 2Ks in Picks from MixPicks.com, owned and operated by Steve Mickelson, who is not here today or tomorrow as March Madness continues. He will return on Monday. Danny from Tech to You joins us again this morning. How you doing, Danny?
Very good. How you doing, Rob?
Good. And Gary, known as Mr. Dawn from Rad Radio, is here as well. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
I'm going to actually call a quick audible because one thing I always do right before the sports show starts is because it's 1 p.m. on the East Coast and I've been busy. I've been doing my real job up until 10 a.m. I always make sure I hit the websites and check for breaking news. Every now and then there's something really big that happens. You know, a couple times right before Steve and I went on the air, you find out, oh, here's what's going on with Russell Wilson leaving or something like that. Jaw-dropping news here, just really quickly. First of all, the NFL 2024 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees will be brought in Saturday, August 3rd this year, and which I don't watch this every year. It kind of depends on who's going in because some of the speeches can be so amazing. But if I don't really know or care much, Patrick Willis is going in. He was a Niner for a decade. I'll check it out. Like that. Dwight Freeney, Randy Greshear, Devin Hester, Steve McMichael, Julius Peppers, they're all going in. But the big news is that the NFL has announced the Hall of Fame game. Now, the reason I'm being so sarcastic about this is I do not understand. I'm an extraordinary NFL fan. I watch 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every Sunday. I watch everything I can. People who write me that are excited about the Hall of Fame game drive me insane. It is a meaningless, stupid, goddamn game. There's nothing that happens there. There's no reason for this. It's an exhibition game. Anyways, it'll be the Bears and the Texans. So now you know.
Okay. Excellent. Good. Will that be a flag football game?
Might as well be. Yeah. It'll be played at the same level.
When you open this conversation, I'm sitting here going, man, I hope he doesn't turn to me and ask me a question about the Hall of Fame game as if I'm not some true NFL fan, because I don't watch that game ever.
Ever. No. I don't know if I've ever seen it. I mean, I'm sure at some point maybe I flicked by it or I accidentally left it on after the speeches or something, but yeah. Oh, God, terrible. All right, the remaining teams in the NCAA tournament have followed their own path to this point. We're down to the Sweet 16. For some teams, it's been a breeze. UConn, Duke, Arizona, Illinois, Purdue, no problems. Others, like Creighton, had to fight Oregon in double overtime. Houston gave up a double-digit lead before it finally defeated Texas A&M. Marquette had to hit big shots in the final minutes to get past Colorado. And NC State had to stop Oakland in overtime. So they get down to the final Sweet 16. I asked Steve Mickelson about this earlier in the week. There's no brackets left nationally in terms of every bracket known that was submitted to all the major players, NCAA, ESPN, CBS Sports, etc. There's no perfect bracket. What some do, mainly in offices, is you get to the Sweet 16 and you re-bracket up. You reseed so that you have something to keep doing. Now, Steve didn't like it under the premise of, you know, he's like two of us, Gary and I, Gen X, of that whole, look, you win it or you don't, you know it from the beginning, et cetera. Now, Danny, you're this big, soft millennial. I laugh because that's ridiculous, but what do you think? Because this idea doesn't actually bother me that much because it re-keeps you involved if your bracket's just completely busted sort of thing, where you go, okay, we got the 16 left, we're going to reseed them and create our own brackets.
I'm actually with Steve on this one. I'm not a huge fan of it.
All right. Well,
I might be closer to Gen X than millennial.
You act like it. That's for sure. But I'm going to give you an idea of and see if just real quick, what they did was most of the seeds stayed the same. We already know the schedule. We don't have to care about that. But in terms of they broke it down literally by here are the 16 best teams in order. I'm using ESPN, but they agreed with CBS and they agreed with, I forget the third source that I used. They still have UConn as the number one overall seed. You guys have them winning the tournament.
I have Arizona.
That's right. I keep forgetting. Jesus, both of you have Arizona. I don't know why I keep thinking you both picked UConn to repeat. You both have Arizona. UConn still the number one overall seed. I never bought that, but they say that UConn is so good that a tough stretch doesn't derail them even against good teams, and that's why they're still overall number one. I wouldn't put them there.
Yeah, I don't have them at number one. I have them in the Final Four, but I definitely don't have them at number one.
And if, do you have them as one of the top four seeds? Like, again, we're just going, here are the 16 best teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're
one
of the four best.
Yeah,
I think they're the best team. I just don't like picking someone to repeat.
So those are, yeah. So you think they're the best team?
I do think they're the best.
This is kind of that, like that conversation we had with the NBA. The Boston Celtics have the best record, but are they the best team? Yes, no, are the answers to that. Yeah. Purdue is the second best team, and it's all because of Zach Eddy, who's 7'4". Jesus, there is just no way to guard him. He's 290. The Purdue team has changed. They've become a serious national title contender, more than just a threat. Second best, I mean, Purdue's in the top five for sure. Do we agree? Yeah. Yeah, no. Oh.
They're susceptible to him having a really bad game.
That's the problem. Down. When it's one guy, and there's a few teams in this list, when there's one guy, he just needs an off night. And if Zach Eddy can't do it, then Purdue's in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. I would put him top five, but...
Who would you put number one?
Number one, I would...
Of the 16 remaining, who would your number one have been?
Number one probably would have been Houston at this point still.
Who they, by the way, have as the lowest ranked of the four number one. They go the Tar Heels next. North Carolina Tar Heels are third, who they say have more than proved themselves as one of the elite teams after falling to a double-digit deficit in the first half against Michigan State on Saturday, which I had Michigan State winning. That kind of destroyed my bracket. And then they go on a 23-3 run, and they turn that game around. And then they put Houston as fourth overall and the final number one seed, mainly because they're still a serious national championship contender, but they squandered that double-digit lead against A&M. I think they're punishing them for that game. But still like Houston as the best team.
Overall, the best team, yeah.
Even though they're not going to win the tournament. Your number one team, Brent, Danny, overall, the number one team that's left.
I think UConn's the best team remaining. I just don't have them winning it.
But you don't have them winning it. And is Houston the weakest of the ones?
I think Houston's the weakest of the ones.
All right, they put your teams in there. Arizona, they say, is the best number two seed. So the fifth overall, they say that their defensive intensity is what will carry Arizona as far as they go. Then they go to my winning team, Iowa State. They've got them as the sixth best team overall, based on the fact that they have made 32.5% of their three-point attempts, which was 10th in the league when they were in the Big 12. Okay, so when they're in the Big 12 during the season, they made 32.5% of their three-point attempts. They're not a three-point team. Iowa State isn't. Their first game of the Big 12 tournament, they went 1-for-14 over Kansas State. During the past four games, they're ninth. Iowa State, they say, is one of the most balanced teams in the Sweet 16. That's their big chance to get there, is if they can pull these off. And at what point do we go through these seeds and we go, yeah, this is fun, but none of these guys have any chance of winning or even getting to the final? Because you have Arizona State beating who?
I have Arizona beating Houston.
I'm trying to remember who I have. Who do you have beating?
I have them beating Houston.
I don't know. I don't have my bracket in front of me. I have to double check who I have Iowa State beating.
Probably Purdue.
Is it Purdue? It might be. They've got, so then they go Tennessee, Marquette, the Blue Devils, Duke. Duke has been, as I said in the beginning, surprisingly good. Just because they're Duke, they are playing. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to get to the four, but they're going to keep playing. They go to Gonzaga or Gonzaga, however you pronounce it. We'll argue about that another day. Doing what Gonzaga Zaga does. Illinois, Creighton, San Diego State, North Carolina Wolfpack, Clemson, and the lowest overall rated is Clemson of their Sweet 16. Yeah. Decent list.
It's okay. I mean, it doesn't line up exactly with CBS Sports. I'm surprised that they have Tennessee so high. CBS Sports has Tennessee ranked as number 12 right now.
I took the three, and I wish I could remember the third one, and I did a compendium of,
gotcha. Okay,
CBS, because somebody had Tennessee State at like five, and I forget, which I was like, what?
No.
That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. All right, so we got four games tonight. We'll just do them in order. We start at 4 o'clock on CBS. We got number 6 Clemson at your national champion, Arizona, which I assume you have to pick Arizona to win. How hard is it going to be?
How hard is it going to be for them to beat Clemson?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that difficult of a win. I think they'll be able to beat Clemson pretty easily.
I read a really compelling argument that they would cover that 7-point spread against Clemson. I'm not going to bet it. I didn't dive too deep into it. I didn't look at any counter arguments, but I think Arizona wins the game. And
well, and I know you didn't research it, but if you're already reading articles that they'll even cover the spread, you're kind of with Gary. This is not much of a game,
right?
Yeah. Then at 4:30 on TBS, we got San Diego State at UConn. Now, because I am so anti-UConn, and because I've read a variety of reasons why it could happen, I'm actually taking San Diego State in the update on in the upset on this
to beat them outright.
Yeah, how insane am I?
I mean, the spread's 9.5. They're a good defensive team. I just don't see them getting a lead and holding on to it. They got to get the lead to win.
No, you're right. That is the key to San Diego State's possible victory. They have to, at some point, get the lead. They can get the lead in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left, but they got to get the lead, and that is tough against UConn. And I admit, I'm totally biased because none of us obviously believe UConn's going to repeat. There's just something about this UConn team that I think is overhyped because of the way the whole regular season went, where we went through this whole time where there was a different number one seed, there was a different number one team every week, and it was like, oh, college football's all over the place. And then suddenly, February hits, and UConn is the greatest thing since sliced bread because they won last year, and they went on a winning streak. I don't know if that's what it is, but for whatever reason, I see an update here, and then I hear what Danny says, and I see a blowout coming my way to where I'm turning the game off halfway through the first quarter. But
here's where I like where you're coming from on this. This is a rematch of last year's championship game.
Yes.
So there's the revenge element that San Diego State has. I still have UConn winning this game, but I can definitely see where San Diego State has a legitimate chance at winning this game.
As you both know, knowing me personally, and most people know that, listen, I try as much as I can to not stay in touch with my emotions. And every now and then, something reminds me that I have them. And another part of this is that San Diego State is Steve Mickelson's alma mater.
Oh, yeah.
And perhaps something in my brain said, I'm going to do this for Steve.
And you like revenge.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I do. I do love I love revenge. You also know that for professional reasons, regardless of what is happening, I love chaos.
Yeah.
Oh, and 100, yeah. The headline of that story would be a big one.
Yeah.
That's one of those where if San Diego State, let's just say, at halftime is up by 10, let's make it ridiculous, right? That's one of those games where if you're watching Clemson and Arizona or even the next game, which will still be going on as the UConn game is wrapped, they're ticking on the bottom of the screen the whole time. The ticker's running. That San Diego State is beating number one UConn. It would be that big of a deal.
I'd be flipping over on that game as well, too.
Just you have to watch it. All right. So far you guys are chalking. You're Arizona and UConn. You both okay. A lot of courage in this room so far, I think. Let's see if it continues. The game at 6:30 on CBS. Number four Alabama is at number one North Carolina, who we were told going in North Carolina was your weakest number one seed. Now people are saying it's Houston. We'll start with you, Danny, Alabama at North Carolina.
Well, I'm not chalking here. I had Alabama to beat them from the very beginning, and I'm sticking to it.
From the very beginning, as in your original bracket?
Yes.
I threw away my original bracket. I mean, it's still on my computer, on my phone. I'm choosing not to look at it for reasons that my therapist suggests. So I don't remember how far I got. But for this game tonight, this is the other one I took, non-chalk. I took Alabama to win outright.
So just looking at my original bracket, I actually had a lower seed beating North Carolina in the Sweet 16. So I'm going to stay there. I'm going to keep with Alabama beating North Carolina tonight.
So we all have Alabama tonight. Yep. All right, let me go to my bracket because I have to be fair. First of all, as I go to it, since I did this last time, I did as long as I could. I did brag about the fact that I was in first place amongst the three of us.
Still in first place?
No. Danny overtook me at the last game. Was it the last game of the last weekend?
I think so.
Because
my Sweet 16 is pretty good. I've got 12 out of 16 teams in the Sweet 16.
So Danny's in first, and so yeah, I gotta do that thing where I gotta count how many I have in the final. Which game were we just talking about? We're talking about
Alabama, North Carolina. Right. Yeah,
I gotta figure out who.
While he's doing that, I currently have 9 of 16. I was telling Rob, or I sent him a text earlier last week that I went 4-for-12 on your traditional upset games last weekend. I was 0-for-4 on the 6 versus 11s. 1-for-3 on 7 versus 10s and 1-for-3 on 8 versus 9. And then really the only thing that saved me were the 5 versus 12. I was 2-2. It's just like I literally picked the opposite of every single game. Just like so frustrating.
Those are the games that matter too.
Yeah, especially for winning brackets.
I got really close to going with Oakland. I'm really annoyed that I didn't go ahead and roll the dice there.
Okay. What was driving you towards making that decision?
So when I picked my bracket, I am pretty sure I went to one of the expert brackets and read his analysis of every single game.
When in doubt, plagiarize.
Yeah.
So the reason I couldn't remember the whole Alabama-North Carolina thing is, remember, the West is what really destroyed my bracket entirely. Because I had Michigan State beating UNC. I had Michigan State getting to the Sweet 16 to play Arizona. They're not even there, so that's why now I'm going with to play Alabama, whatever it is. I'm confusing my own words here. And then the final game of the night, 7 o'clock TBS, Illinois is at my national champion pick, Iowa State.
I've got Iowa State. They're going. I've got them in the Elite Eight as well, so just sticking with my bracket, going where I've had it originally.
My bracket is so busted on that side. But, yeah, I will go with Iowa State there as well.
So I didn't do my proper homework for this part of it. It's so funny. The way this show works is a lot of times the sports show is nowhere near prepared at 5:59 a.m. when the other real show that I do in the morning starts and I have to use the time to get it ready. I had today's show done, this show, done at 5:50 because it was so obvious. It was March Madness. It was the NBA. It was Major League Baseball. But I didn't do some of the things like, how many of the Sweet 16s that I picked do I have in it? So I didn't do all of those things. So when we get through the weekend and we get down to it, what's your final four now? Now, not your original bracket, but your final four from the Sweet 16.
Oh, it's still, I'm keeping it the same that I had in my bracket.
Because you had it in your bracket.
I am good through I have all 8 teams still left from the Elite 8. And all the way through. So basically all of my teams from the Elite 8 are still in. So I'm sticking with my original bracket right now.
And that is, the four are?
UConn, Arizona, Houston, and Gonzaga.
I have Auburn, Arizona, Houston, and Purdue. Auburn's done. So I'm going to have to replace them. And I hate to do this, but I don't see anyone beating UConn now until the Final Four.
But you're still sticking.
I'm going to have to take UConn if I'm going to replace Auburn.
And you're still sticking with Arizona.
Yep. Yeah.
Not because of the old school guy reason of, well, I said it, so I'm going to have to stick to it. Steve and I went through that during the NFL season because Steve last year in September said Niners Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He had the Niners winning. But so there were certainly times during the season where it looked like neither one of those teams was going to get to the Super Bowl. And he's, I said it. I'm not going to go away from it. I'm just because I said. No, I mean because of what you've seen. What you've seen in the tournament, what you see left in the Sweet 16, you still see Arizona.
I'm using a mix of both, actually. Yeah, I mean, I really liked what I saw out of Arizona in the first two rounds, so I absolutely like where they're at, and I still have them as my national championship.
I'm doing a mix of both, too, because UConn is such a good team. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they repeated, but I think if anyone's going to beat them, it's going to be Arizona. They're really well-rounded. Iowa State could pull it off, but not shooting 1-for-16 from three.
So that's the follow-up question is, if it is in Arizona, who's your second? Not who you want, who's your guess? And you would say UConn is next most likely.
Yes.
And Gary would say?
My next most likely would be Houston.
See, and I think it would be UConn. If it's not, I have Iowa State, and I do think it would be UConn. But there is that element of repeating that is always so hard, that is always so difficult on every level, that I always wonder how much it gets into people's heads. Yeah. And especially college players, because of, look, no rub on you college kids, the lack of maturity, the idea to be that team that repeats. But it just seems to me, I mean, the rest of them, I just don't see enough anywhere else if it's not. Well, I'm sorry. You know what? That's the wrong answer. I just realized. If it's not Iowa State, it's Arizona. I forgot. You guys got Arizona. You had to pick your second favorites.
Yeah.
I said I took Iowa State. My second most likely would be Arizona because I think it's a great pick. Then I think I would go down to UConn. So we got those. Those are the four games tonight. We'll do the four games tomorrow after going over tonight's four games. And then we'll get a better idea where we're going to be next week as we head into the Final Four.
Knicks Picks, the Mixed Picks Sports Show.
Let's go!
we got this email, rad@radradio.com, from Sean, talking about as we head into the Sweet 16 and NCAA March Madness, four games tonight. Sean says, no way. UConn has won 8 straight tournament games by 10 or more, and they're a team. A guy having an off game won't affect them like other teams, and they're 5-0 when they make it to the final. Obviously, Sean has UConn going all the way and repeating. His stats are not wrong.
It's a great point, but, you know, it's the NCAA tournament, man. Anything can happen at this point still.
During the break, I tried my best as quickly as I could to go over my my bracket, which Gary created this app for us. So I was trying to use my phone, which I'm still trying to get used to, you know, the scroll through it while I'm getting the show prep. So I went through it, and the first time I went through the Sweet 16, I realized that I have 19 of the 16 teams in the Sweet 16.
That is impressive.
That's when I laughed out loud. I went, oh, okay, I'm looking at the wrong bracket, the wrong part of the bracket. That would be the So in the end, Danny asked me, I have Iowa State and Illinois. Yes, I do. Playing, and I have 10 of the 16 that are remaining. Okay. And Gary, you have how many?
I have 9.
9. Okay, but you have all 8.
I have all 8 of
the elite.
12.
Yeah, 12. And you have 12. So, okay, so we're all in the same basic general area as we head into also opening day of Major League Baseball. The real opening day of Major League Baseball, not South Korea last week, et cetera. So a couple fun things that we get to do with this, of course, before the season even starts is you always got your power rankings. Who are the best teams overall in the entire league? So if you got to do the best team right now going in, there's two that are mentioned primarily by Vegas, and then there's the other 5 below it. Gary, your best team in Major League Baseball, yes, injuries count, all that other crap, is?
Baltimore.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Baltimore, by the way. I would say, if I'm having to be put on the spot, which is what this show is all about, I'm saying the Braves. But I actually have Baltimore going to at least, if not winning the World Series this year.
I was going to say the Braves, but then you picked the Braves, so I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
And that's the other one, right? The Braves and the Dodgers are the two that everybody is super high on. And then everybody goes below that. And we've talked before about how the Rangers, who they have no chance to repeat, according to anybody, which is a little odd, given that, I mean, some people have them as low as like 7th. In terms of things like that. So it's opening day today. There are, by the way, all the way a couple of things to note. Baseball openers in both New York and Philadelphia were postponed already because of rainy forecasts in both cities, which really sucks because the game tonight in Philadelphia is the one that I really wanted to see, which will be played, I guess, tomorrow. But where is it? I thought I had it right here. I do. Shut up. Atlanta at Philadelphia. That's a game I want to see. Look, baseball, you do this in basketball and it's half as many games. It's 162 games. Today doesn't matter, other than the fact it's opening day. We're not going to learn anything today. But it is opening day and it's fun. And I want to see the Braves and the Phillies, but we're going to have to wait.
And it could be a preview to your NL championship as well.
I didn't get that far in my head yet. But my initial reaction is it probably is. Although we're going to go through the divisions and see what we think of that. So for today, your first game is at noon. These are Pacific times. You got the Angels at the Orioles. Other games of note, the Giants will play the Padres at 1. The A's will get beaten by Cleveland in a stadium full of about, 5,000 people tonight at 7. The other big, marquee game that kind of stands out just in terms of curiosity for me, the Yankees play at Houston at 1:10. There's one that we want to see. And all the rest of them, I don't know because I don't know. It's opening day. I mean, it's just like whatever's on is on is what you're going to watch, right? All right, so as we go through where 2024 is headed for baseball, we'll go through the divisions. And we will start with what I assume Gary and I agree on. The American League East, the Baltimore Orioles are going to win that division.
Yes.
I'm not even sure how close it's going to be. I do think the Yankees, I'm so suspect on with Garrett Cole being out through May, not knowing for sure about Aaron Judge, always get into these injuries. I do think it could be a bloodbath between both the Yankees and the Blue Jays. You could see 3 teams come out of the East if they both perform the way they could. But I think the Orioles are poised to win that division big.
Yeah, I think they're going to win it by double digits this year over the second-place team in that division. So, and I do agree, the Yankees, it's all going to come down to the injuries for them again this year. So,
American League East, Danny?
Yeah, I like the Orioles too. What's interesting is those two teams actually flip-flop as to who the favorite is. Between DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, and BetRivers, you've got a different team at each one.
Between those three?
Between those two teams, the Yankees and the Orioles.
They don't even have the Blue Jays in the mix?
The Blue Jays are like 4-1. The Yankees and the Orioles are plus 180, plus 165 to plus 180, depending on where you get it.
Which, by the way, just pause and come back to it. If you really want to, if you really think you got a shot at making some big money by putting a little bit down, last I saw, Caesars has the Oakland A's at 40,000-1 to win the Super Bowl. I mean, you bet a buck, you win 40,000. The real question that's been asked of the Oakland A's, and I think Steve's answer was under, but we got an email on, was it yesterday? Somebody wanted to know, over under total wins for the Oakland A's this year, 59.5.
That's what the over under is?
That's what his was. I don't know what's posted. The emailer wanted to know, because Steve for like a dozen years used to put out the entire schedule and give the record for every team. It's kind of how he made his chops, made his name, wound up in, you know, on national sports networks. And as I joked yesterday, look where he is now. Lucky him, hosting a show with me. but 59.5 wins for the A's, over or under for this season?
Under.
That's what Steve said. And you start doing the math, and I think originally that his first number was like, and I had to do the math on the fly, was 50 wins for the season, which is that, what is that, 50 and 72? Is my math right on that?
No, 50 and 112. Mm-hmm.
50, yeah, oh, my God, 50 and 112.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, 59.5 wins for the
Under A's. 59.5. I saw the line at 56.5.
Oh, God.
But I know why Steve is setting it at 59.5. There was this old saying in baseball, like, no team's going to lose more than 100 games. No team's going to win more than 100.
That's where you start.
That's starting to change nowadays, but yeah, I think they went under 59.5.
All right, so American League East, Orioles are taking that. The American League Central, where you got the Twins, the Royals, the Tigers, the Guardians, and the White Sox, who we have no chance there. Twins had it last year. Are they good enough still, and who challenges them? Danny, who you got in the Central?
The Twins. Nobody challenges in there. If anyone, the Guardians.
I think Detroit's going to surprise everybody this year. I think Detroit's going to make a good run in the Central.
I think Detroit's my team. We always try to pick NFL and Major League Baseball in particular. Pick the teams that will, yes, surprise people.
Yeah.
I think is the answer. And I do think Detroit will surprise. I don't know if they will surprise enough. I do think Minnesota, I don't know if they have the lock on the Central. I think Detroit could surprise enough people to be a wild card contender as we get down there. And then to the American League West, which is loaded minus the A's and the Angels. Take them out. The Astros and the Rangers, but the Mariners have made a lot of moves, and a lot of people are saying the Mariners are really in the mix this year. For me, I have PTSD with the Mariners back from, what was it, 2000, when they had 116 wins in the regular season. They go out and they lose in the first round. And they're the Mariners. So it's always hard for me to believe that the Mariners are actually in the mix. But I do think I do think they have more of a chance than people would have given them a chance to. This, to me, is all about the Astros, Rangers. I do think people are underestimating the Rangers. But the Astros are in the middle of their dynasty mode. And I still think the Astros take the West.
Yeah, it's hard to look past the Astros right now. Especially, you know, they just acquired one of the best relievers in baseball. They brought Verlander back. I mean, it's just going to be a great team this year again.
So I agree. I think the Astros are going to win that division. But if you had to bet it, would you lay even money on the Astros, or would you rather get 2-1 on the Rangers? That's a tough choice.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough choice because, and especially because of the way you phrase it, because whenever I have anybody ask me if you had to, I feel like I have to. Like, it's like, you can't not answer the question. It's like, who would you do?
Yeah.
You can't say neither. I lean towards the Rangers at the opportunity of 2-1 rather than even money on the Astros.
Me too. I mean, it's baseball.
Because I don't think Gary said this. I don't think the Astros are going to run away with this thing. No. I think this is going down to me. This is that last 2 weekends of September kind of thing.
And both teams are probably going to make the playoffs this year. The Rangers are going to be one of the wild card teams.
Right. Which, by the way, remind me, because what are we up to, 14 teams now in baseball? We keep changing this total.
I think so. I got to relook at the at what it is.
Isn't it the four? Isn't it the, it's the three division winners and four wild cards?
Yeah, that's I I don't two white cards, still two wild cards, I think. I could be wrong. I'll have to look at it.
That would only be five. That would only be 10 teams.
Because you have the three and then a one wild card team, that are the two wild card teams. So that'd be five. It's You're 12. Right. It is 12
it's
now?
12. Okay. It's 12?
According to Google.
It's 12.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So it's 12. Okay. So it is the division winners. That's three. And then it's two wild cards.
Three wild cards.
I realize, by the way, if you're listening right now, you're yelling at us going, you're the ones that are supposed to know this. I'm aware of that. It's so I think it's the NFL that's at 14 now. And this, by the way, another tangent. I'm with Steve. We got to get all these numbers right. Every league needs to have 32 teams, and every league needs to have the same number of teams going to the postseason.
I agree.
Stop doing this to us. So we're going to go with 12 in Major League Baseball. So in the American League, if we've got the Astros, the Twins, and the Orioles winning their divisions, and we have two wild cards. In the East, we talked about you've got both the Blue Jays and the Yankees. We talked about could the Tigers be a contender in the Central. And then in the West, you, Gary, have already put the Rangers in.
Yeah.
So if you're putting the Rangers in, who's your other wild card between the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Tigers, or somebody I haven't mentioned?
So the Yankees would be the other one. And then, honestly, I think Tampa Bay's got an outside shot as well. I think people are overlooking them right now.
And there's another one. I made fun of the American League West. I said, you know, they're a stacked division minus the A's and the Angels. The American League East, absolutely stacked, except for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
They're just I don't know what the Red Sox are doing. So who are your wild cards, Danny?
So I think I said Twins, Orioles, Astros to win the division.
Twins
for wild card, I'm going to go Yankees, Rangers, Mariners.
You know, two, right? I thought it was two. Is it two or three?
Three wild cards.
So who's your third one, Gary?
My third one is Tampa Bay.
Oh, you did put them in. Okay. Yeah.
Texas, the Yankees, and Tampa Bay.
I am so confused. All right. Then you know what? Then I am putting the Tigers in as one of my wild cards.
There you go.
Just because. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the National League. In the East, we've got the Marlins, the Phillies, the Mets, the Nationals, the Braves. The Braves, I think, are the best team in baseball right now. I think this comes down to Braves, Phillies, all the way again to the end of September. Whichever one doesn't win the division is the wild card.
Agreed. And I think the Braves win that division by like 6 to 8 games.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like the Braves a lot in the NL East. Actually, in the NL overall, actually. I think they're going to be one of the two teams in the championship there. So,
Dan, you are aware of how good the Phillies were last year.
Yes.
Do you see them regressing? Or you
I just
see
think
the Braves
are that good.
The Braves are just that good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And are you willing, Gary, right now to go out on a limb with me and say the Phillies would be a wild card or maybe not?
100%. I think, like I said earlier, I think this could be your NL championship matchup.
The Phillies and the Braves.
Yeah.
All right. So in the Central, the Cardinals, the Pirates, the Reds, the Cubs, the Brewers. I don't know if I would qualify. We were talking about the Tigers earlier as a surprise because I do hear other people talking about it. I think the Reds are going to be a much better team than people expect, but I do think the Brewers still take this.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati's got one of the best young baseball players in De La Cruz on their team. I think he's going to have another great year. I like the Reds, but it's really hard to look past the Brewers still.
You like the Brewers to take this?
I still like the Brewers,
I think they're 7.5 to 1.
And you have who?
The Cubs. Well, I'm betting with my heart there.
But look, come on. Go have a Chicago dog.
They're like flip-flopping with the Cardinals for who the favorite of that division is right now.
Well, but didn't you say last week, correct me if I'm wrong, don't you believe the Cardinals are like the biggest disappointment this year?
I do. Yeah, so I like the Cubs to win that division.
All right.
Craig Counsell from the Brewers, managing the Cubs now.
National League West, stacked division, and the Colorado Rockies. The Dodgers, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, who just signed Montgomery, and the Giants, who had this offseason that looked like, they're not going to do anything until they did, and suddenly the Giants are being mentioned as a contender. Every smart money bet is the Dodgers have to win this and will win this division. I think they will, but I don't think it'll be like a 6 to 8 game victory like you've got the Braves.
I think the Dodgers win it too. You don't think the Dodgers will win by 6 to 8?
I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be closer than that. I think it's going to. I'm not sure if it's that last week of September thing, but I think the Dodgers I think the Padres and the Giants are that good, and I can't tell about the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are that team that I can't read. I wouldn't be surprised if the Diamondbacks won 70 games and just tanked, but I would not be surprised if they were in it in the last week of September either, which is why I just think I think there's so much talent in the National League West that I do think the Dodgers pull it out, but I don't think it's going to – I think it's more like three-ish.
I was going to say I'll take the Diamondbacks and the Giants as two of my three wild card teams. So
really?
Yeah. Wow.
And the Padres, they can just go bang mash on that. Okay.
I mean, looking at the power rankings, they've got the Diamondbacks at number 9 right now. Obviously, the Dodgers, they've got at number 1. And then the Padres and Giants are at 13 and 15. Being a diehard Giants fan, obviously, I'm going to root for the Giants all season long. I really like the team this year. It's hard to look past the Dodgers winning the division, though.
And where are the Giants in terms of the hierarchy of the Padres and the Diamondbacks?
Right now, I would put them between both two teams. I would still put the Diamondbacks as number 2 in the West.
So I put Padres 2nd in the West. In fact, I've got the Padres as one of my 3 wild cards in the West, along with the Reds and the Phillies. And Danny, your wild cards in the National League are?
Phillies, Diamondbacks, Giants.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be the Cubs and the Giants.
Oh, the Cubs,
and the Diamondbacks.
Oh, you put a big smile on Danny's face by choosing his Cubs as a wild card. Oh, yay!
Mix Picks, the Mix Picks Sports Show.
Let's go!
I love it when I misspeak, and not only do I misspeak in such a stupid way, but whoever's on whatever show with me either doesn't catch it or isn't willing to say something. And I know it's not the latter of the two with Gary and Danny, at least not the way I know them. But apparently Evan wrote in and said that I said the Oakland A's were 40,000-1 to win the Super Bowl.
I didn't catch that.
Which would be impressive. Thank you, Evan.
What I did catch is you said they were plus 40,000 or 40,000-1. I think they're probably plus 40,000.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry. You're right. Yes, that would be correct. Let's move to the NBA. We spent some time yesterday, a lot of time yesterday, Danny, talking about, because we kind of make all of this as mass appeal as possible, but also regional, Northern California, Northern Nevada, and the Sacramento Kings losing these asinine games to the Mavericks by 117 points, it seemed like, when you were watching it. The Wizards, how they can't lose games to those teams. Of their remaining, of their remaining 11 games at the time, 8 of them have winning records. They're sinking deeper and deeper, and meanwhile, teams are creeping up and creeping up. Danny's of the mindset that if the Warriors find a way into the playoffs, they're extraordinarily dangerous, which brings us back to our buddy Draymond Green, who, since he returned from his indefinite suspension in January, the Warriors have applauded the way he's maintained his fire while not crossing the line. They've made comments about how they're similar to Anthony Davis of the Lakers. They've found their stride, even though the Warriors continue to be really inconsistent. And then came last night. Green was ejected less than 4 minutes into the Warriors' eventual win over the Magic, 101-93. He'd been chirping at Ray Acosta after being called for his first personal foul. A few players later, Green approached Acosta, started yelling at him again. Acosta gave him a tee. Green didn't stop, and out goes Draymond for the 4th time this year. If you were watching the game or you saw the highlights, Steph Curry rather, immediately shook his head and covered his face with his jersey. Said after the game, "All I can say is we need him. We know that. He knows that. We all know that." Head coach Steve Kerr said that Green deserved the ejection, and he did.
Yeah, it's he's such an emotional player, and he deserved the tee.
I mean, yes.
I've been a huge fan of him, but when this is becoming a problem, he's hurting his team. That's where I draw the line.
He's hurting his team, but the Warriors won, and this is where we bring it back to the Warriors. They're in the 10th spot right now, but they are they're 4 games back from the Kings, who have dropped now to the 8th spot. And you start to see other things like, oh, there's those Lakers. The Lakers are only a game and a half behind the Kings in the 9th spot. And last night, they went out, they took care of Memphis in Memphis, 136-124. And LeBron is talking about metering his play. He didn't play at all the other night. And he's saying, look, he's getting ready for the playoffs. LeBron's brain is, we're making it. We're getting in. Now, Danny, you say the Warriors are dangerous if they get to the playoffs. Are the Lakers?
Not in a seven-game series, but I think they're dangerous to the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I mean, the Kings have swept them this season so far, so playoffs are different, though. So I definitely agree with you that the Lakers do pose a threat to the Kings in the playoffs.
So you've got this bunch up here where you've got the Mavericks are in the sixth spot, 7.5 games back from the Nuggets, and the Warriors are in the 10th spot, 12.5 games back. As Danny pointed out yesterday, the Rockets are only a game behind the Warriors. There's all these bunched up teams. And again, there's only a dozen-ish games that are left. The Phoenix Suns are ahead of the Kings by half a game after last night going out and beating Denver. That's Denver, the first place team in the West, in Denver. And Phoenix seems maybe to be catching a stride that could be bad for the Kings.
That could be bad for the Kings. The Kings have to win tomorrow night. Like, that is a must-win game at this point.
They're almost. They can't be because of the teams they're playing. They're almost all must-wins. But if I think the number's 11. I might have that wrong. Could be 10. If they've got 11 left, they've got to win like 8. Especially
tough games too.
With tough games, especially with who they've got that are on their heels.
Yeah, they've got 10 games left. Dallas
it is
tomorrow.
10?
Yeah, okay. And they've got a Dallas rematch tomorrow at home again.
Which is so weird.
I know.
That is the weirdest NBA scheduling anomaly I've seen all year, where they have the Mavericks play on Tuesday and then stay in town until they play again on Friday. Same team, same venue.
They've been doing that more and more since COVID, where they do have the back-to-back games, but with a few-day break in between. So, I agree with you on that as well. But the tomorrow night's game is a must-win for the Kings. They've got to beat Dallas because it's also going to have tiebreaker implications on it and really could sink the Kings even further. So
a couple other games last night of note. Danny even sent out a group text last night because he was going nuts over the Houston Rockets at the Oklahoma City game. Went into OT. Houston won 132-126, but that was quite the game.
It was quite the game. They almost let it slip. I think the Rockets had a three-point lead, 5 seconds left. The Thunder came down, hit a three, sent it to overtime. Rockets did pull away in OT, though.
And the other one that caught my eye was the Clippers, these two schizophrenic teams, the Clippers at the 76ers. And the reason it caught my eye was because of something you and I talked about yesterday, Danny, on the sports betting side. We've got the Shohei Ohtani story out there. We've got the guy you've never heard of from Toronto who's being investigated. And the evidence there is that really weird evidence of he bet against himself for the entire game in terms of over, under, shots taken, all this. 4 minutes into the game, he leaves with an eye injury, so he won all those bets. We don't know what else they're investigating. You've got all these weird NFL calls, whether it's the refs or whether it's coaches kicking field goals that have nothing to do with the final score but get us into the over, under, et cetera. And then following the Clippers' 108-107 win over the Sixers last night, crew chief Kevin Scott, I appreciate the transparency at least, said there should have been a foul called on a drive by 76ers forward Kelly Oubre Jr. on the game's final play, saying, quote, on the last play on the floor in real time, the crew interpreted that play as the defender jumping vertically. In post-game video review, we observed a drift to his left by the defender, that was Paul George, and a foul should have been ruled. It's another one of these, why wasn't it, why? Now, I don't know if it affects the point spread and all that stuff. That's more your bailiwick, Danny. But this keeps happening, where it keeps leading people to play to this whole conspiracy theory, whether it has to do with sports betting or that guy who wrote in yesterday saying the NBA will do whatever they have to get the Lakers into the league. We didn't have any solutions yesterday. You've had 23 hours to think about it. Do you have a solution now how to make people stop worrying about all of this so much?
No, I think the players are worried about it too. I think I saw an interview with Jason Tatum yesterday.
Yep.
He was being asked about, is this affecting the relationship between the players and the fans? And he was like, yeah, it is. You know, there's not a night where I don't go out and someone's like, score 25 before halftime, shoot another three. So
because they've all got those bets that are out on the line.
Yeah, it's gone mainstream, and your everyday fans that would typically not engage in sports betting are just so exposed to it from all these commercials and advertisements, and starting younger because it's on college campuses. I don't know what the solution is, but I do see a problem brewing.
And my quandary with where you're at on it is, I'm all for all of this stuff, you know, and I think we're all pretty much a version of capitalists here. The thing you said, though, that's really interesting is you've got, you know, you referred them as average fans that are getting into betting. You get overwhelmed by DraftKings. They're also ignorant fans. And that's where I think you're getting a lot of this, go score 25. And when you hear refs come out after the game and say, yeah, we blew that call on the last play, it adds to the anger and the angst. But again, I don't have the solution yet.
Yeah, then I mean, that was a one-point game last night, too. So I'm curious to know what the opening line was on that. I could see if somebody was betting straight up that would obviously have cost them some money if they'd bet on the 76ers at home. But, you know, and like you said, for the average person, it's now ease of access as well. You used to have to be in a city where you could go to a casino and bet. You used to have to know a bookie. You can do everything online now and do it right through your phone. And so it does make it so much more mainstream, as Danny said.
And we've always had the conspiracy theories more than ever, I think, in sports. I mean, you go back, the Tuck rule, whatever. Pick your moment. Take sports betting out of it. The 76er fans can just be like, we lost. And by losing, we dropped behind the Heat. We're now in the eighth position. We would have been ahead of the Heat, and we would have been only half a game behind the Pacers. So no matter how you look at it, you know, if you're a Philly fan, you wake up this morning, you see that and go, oh, wonderful. We literally lost, do the math, a game and a half one way or another, because they're admitting after the game that they blew it. Good. Why didn't they get it right during the game? We've talked about, I've heard all sorts of things posited in the NBA that they should go to like an NFL model that everything gets reviewed in the last 10 seconds. I don't know if that's feasible. I mean, it's already, the last 2 minutes of an NBA game is already a 20-minute idea. You can't quite add that to it as well. But these stories keep happening more and more and more often.
Yeah, there's just got to be either more incentive or more of a risk class / punishment for people involved in the games to make it to where they don't want to bet on these sports or have that impact knowing somebody else has money on the game as well, right? And so maybe they get incentivized for not missing calls and going back after the game and reviewing them.
I understand missing a call in real time. If the clock stopped naturally, I think they should take a look at it and get it right. But you can't stop the clock in basketball. Like the momentum is too big of a deal, and the game's moving too quick to just blow the whistle. And
by the way, in the NBA, there's only two games tonight. The Bucks are at New Orleans. That's compelling. But if you, Danny, weren't going to go home and actually get some sleep after a 21-hour workday yesterday, and if you, Gary, weren't going to go pretend to work for the rest of the day, we've got access, depending on your platforms, to a dozen Major League Baseball games. You've got the four March Madness games. What would your day look like?
Oh, it would be mostly watching baseball and then going to the NCAA tournament.
It would be baseball all day until 4 and then over to March Madness.
Yeah.
And then check in a little bit with the later games. Although most of the later games in baseball, kind of, who cares?
Yeah. And the later games, I just end up following on my phone through one of the apps. Same with the NBA today.
I'm going to go home, kick my feet up, open up my laptop, work until about 4, and then I'm actually going to throw the NCAA stuff on.
When's the sleep happening?
I don't know.
So much for that nap.
Either way, we're both back tomorrow.
I'm fortunate
morning.
Enough to sit in bed and work from a laptop.
Yeah, so. But you're still engaged. You're in the technology. We'll see what shape Danny's in 23 hours.
Chalmers for the tie. Got it. The 2 seconds. Unbelievable. At midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, almost went in. Duke is the king of the dance. It's Paige off balance. Puts it. This is the point where he always hits it. Oh! Aaron Harrison beyond belief.
Mixed Picks Sports Show.